yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us. With your hands lifted up all over this place, Heavenly Father, we have come again from different walks of life, from different backgrounds and upbringings. We've come with different perspectives and different needs and challenges. Yet, we are all made of one blood, one baptism, one Lord, one Father. This morning, meet everyone at the point of need. Speak in a language that everyone understands. Let no one under the sound of my voice leave this service without being touched, without the touch of your master's hand, without being impacted, affected, changed, transformed, renewed. Let everyone be renewed in strength. Let our organs be renewed one more time. In the name of Jesus, let yokes be broken. Let burdens be lifted. Let embargoes be lifted. Let snares be destroyed. Let lying minds be destroyed. In the name of Jesus, let every sick among us be healed. Let those appointed to die be delivered. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. Let your word have a free course. Feed us with fresh manna. We command the physical, tangible manifestation of every blessing and promise this year holds for your people. Every blessing in the realms of the spirit, let it manifest in the physical. Let it manifest in the natural. In the name of Jesus, command as you put your hands together, divine manifestations. Command it. With your hands lifted up all over this place, let the Spirit of God brood over this gathering. Oh God, let your glory be upon your people. Let your beauty be seen upon this house. Let our horn be exalted above the horns of our enemies. Exalt our horn above the horns of all those who devise our head. Show the enemy that you are still the boss. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, hug somebody, shout and be seated. Give somebody a hug, and the shout of the king is in the house. Welcome every one of you, and welcome on the Word Channel to prayer today. Amen. We want to deal with some few things prophetically because my prophetic senses keep picking up certain things. Snares, landmines, and dead wishes. Dead wishes. Turn to somebody and say, do you know somebody wishes for you to die? I know you don't believe it, but it is what it is. Tell somebody, I know you don't believe it, but it is what it is. Most times, good people are very naive. You know, the African-American has a way to say you are naivete. You see, but the Bible said, Paul said, I don't want to have you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant. The Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to be in the know so you can be in the flow. Tell somebody you need to be in the know so you can be in the flow. Tell two people that. Look at Psalm 41 verse 5. Psalm 41 verse 5. We want to look at Psalm 41 verse 5. There are people who don't like you. And please understand that one of the reasons why you have enemies is not because you've done anything wrong or right. It's few reasons. Number one, because you carry light. Because you are the light of your family and the light in your community, or you are the light at the marketplace. And if you carry light or you represent light, you will always be a target of darkness and evil. It has nothing to do with your personality, the color of your skin, your background, your tribe, or what you have done wrong or right. It just has to do with what you are carrying. And tell somebody, do you know you are carrying heavy duty cargo? Yeah. And number two, one of the reasons why you have enemies and the enemy will target you is because he's the accuser of the children of God. He's the accuser of the children of light. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's an enemy of God, and you are the apple of God's eye. So if he attacks you and hurts you, it's an indirect way of hurting God, spiting God, or attacking God, because he can't attack God. So what he does is to attack you that are the apple of his eye. And it's an indirect way to spite God whenever he attacks you. And he will attack you through human beings, because spirits are not allowed to operate among human or the human kingdom. They need flesh and blood to operate. That's why Jesus had to wrap himself in the womb of a woman to be born, because in the earth realm, spirits are not allowed to operate in the earth realm. They need the permission or the cooperation of human bodies to be able to function in the earth realm. And so, a spirit of hatred can come through somebody to hate you without a cause. And you don't understand why your own brethren, your loved ones, should hate you. It's a spirit of hatred working through their emotion. It's a spirit of hatred that has access, engaged, or deployed them against you. The Bible said that, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he was hated by his brothers. And then he dreamed another dream, and the Bible said they hated him yet the more. How does it, siblings, blood, flesh of your own flesh, from the same womb and loins, hate you? It's a spirit. It's a spirit that hates people who carry light or those who represent light. You find yourself in a family of 3, 4, 10, less or more siblings, and for whatever reason, you see this particular individual always under attack. Always dealing with something. You know, when I was growing up, I had a challenge with education, and my teachers didn't know that I was dyslexia, because I learn and process in a different way than the others. Then when I started having kids, I realized that two of my kids were dyslexia, and they started having problems like I did. Then one of my granddaughter also became dyslexia. And so we caught it early because she was in school in America, and there is a cure to dyslexia. And they cured it and reversed it, so she's fine. But in my time and in my day, the educational system here didn't understand what dyslexia is. I study differently. Up to today, I process things differently. If you take me through the normal way, I don't appreciate, I don't get it. I have a way of processing things, and I have a way of hearing. And it has nothing to do with being mental retarded or not being smart. You can be very smart. Some of the most smartest people in this world were dyslexics. And if you don't understand that, and this thing can travel in the bloodline from one generation to another generation. And that was one of the tricks of the enemy to prevent me from standing here to preach today. But no matter what he did, it backfired. Tell somebody it will backfire. Whatever is meant for evil this year, for you, God will turn it for your good. It doesn't matter how far it has gone. And it doesn't matter how confident the enemy is that he has you where he wants you. Tell somebody, na lie. Oh, you didn't hear. Tell somebody, it's a lie. It's a lie. The Bible said that when Peter was in prison, the night before, Herod would have brought him out to eliminate him. The church prayed without ceasing. And the night before, an angel of the Lord stepped out of eternity into time and stepped into the equation and interrupted the plans of Herod. Let the plans of kings be interrupted this year. Let the negotiations of the forces of the underworld, the human kingdom, the marine kingdom, political kingdoms, financial kingdoms, kingdoms of evil society, kingdoms of the powers of the dark kingdom, whatever negotiation took place, November last year, October last year, December last year, to execute it this year, from January going, in the name of Yeshua, HaMashiach, let it boomerang, let it boomerang, let it boomerang. If you believe it, put your hands together and give the Lord a praise. Tell somebody it will not work. It will not work. And we are declaring this thing from the first month of the year, 2018, because 18 means the end of captivity. 18 is a number of deliverance from bondage. The woman that was bound by the spirit of infirmity suffered for 18 years. I'm not talking about the woman suffering from issue of blood. That was 12 years. It's different from the woman that was loose from her infirmity. It was on the 18th year Jesus met her and said, "Woman, thou art loose from thy infirmity." The children of Israel went into captivity for 18 years under the rule of the Moabite nation or king. On the 18th year, they cried, and the Bible said, and God sent deliverance. I declare on this 18th year of your life that you will experience deliverance. There shall be deliverance in any area of your life, in the life of your husband, your wife, your children, deliverance from health crisis, deliverance from health complication, deliverance from bad marriages, deliverance from family bondage, deliverance from unexpected, unforeseen crisis, deliverance from any dead wish. I command the end of every wickedness. I command the end of captivities. The end of captivities. This is your year of deliverance. You will possess your possession. You will possess your gates and the gates of your enemies. If you believe it, put your hands together. Shout yes. Say something. Sit down for 2 minutes. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 5. There are people speaking evil of you. And you got to know that. Isaiah 41, verse 5. There are people speaking, Psalm 41, verse 5. There are people who are speaking ill and evil of you. I have seen it over and over again over the years. For these past 40 years, I've had people speak evil and ill of me that don't even know me. They haven't met me before. And they talk with such audacity as if they've known me. They even know things about me I don't know about myself. Speak evil of you. Want to hurt you. Want to hurt your family. Want to hurt everything and anything you love. And had the audacity to go beyond just speaking ill of you by saying that, when will you die? Do you know there are people who are waiting for the day they will announce your death? But That day they are waiting for, they will never live to see it. They won't be here to see that day. I declare we will outlive everyone who wants us dead. You will outlive them. We will read of their obituaries in the newspapers whilst we are still here. We call it a dead wish. They are saying, "Where will you? When will you die?" And they are not satisfied even with you dying only. They don't want your name and your legacy to be remembered. They want you to die without even burial. I declare on authority that no one here will be involved in a plane crash. That you will not be involved in any misfortune this year. That you will escape, you and your house, you and all that concerns you. You will escape every misfortune. If you believe it, put your hands together, stand on your feet, say yes. Come on, everybody. Sit down for 2 minutes. Tell somebody the devil is a liar. Any dead wish that is hanging as a dark cloud over your head and the head of your children, the head of your family, the head of this house and this nation, any evil cloud of untimely death. And you see, when we talk about death, it's not just about life. It can also mean your business, your investment, dreams and vision, finances, strategic relationship and friendship. There are people who want some strategic relationships and friendships to die, but I command a resurrection. I command a resurrection. I command divine escape this year. Stand on your feet, give somebody a hand and say, escape, escape. Tell them you will escape. Tell two people you will escape. In the name of Jesus, you will escape. Tell them, I command you to escape, escape, escape. Sit down for 2 minutes. And lastly, they said, and the name, your name perish. Let his name perish. Your name won't perish. Your legacy will not be hijacked by a stranger. Your legacy will not be in the wrong hands. Let your legacy be transgenerational. Let your legacy be prevail. Let your legacy be preserved. Let your legacy and your name outlive you. That even after you are gone, your name will still speak upon the face of the earth. Whoever wants our legacy to disappear, whoever wants our legacy and the legacy of this house to perish from the face of the earth, let it boomerang. Let it boomerang. Let that wish backfire. Let any words they have spoken as an ill will, let the potency of that word be taken away. Let that word fall to the ground. Let that word not see the day of light or the light of day. In the name of Jesus, it will not see the light of day. If you believe it, put your hands together, shout the air. Any landmines this year that the enemy has already set in motion, that is time sensitive, to explode at any particular time of this year, is already ongoing. Yeah. It's in the womb of time. Hosea 9:14. Hosea 9:14. Whatever they have conceived, whatever is hatching in the womb of the enemy. And wombs here can stand for the imagination. And there are, the mind is tripartite. The mind is in three particular divisions. There is what we call the memory that deals with issues of the past. Contemplation is the womb of now. Imagination deals with issues of the future. So it's a womb that carries events of the future. So you're dealing with contemplation, managing things of today, memory, womb of the past. Any womb that has conceived evil of us, of you, of your family, of your loved ones, that is being hatched, let it die unborn. Let it miscarry in the womb of time. Let it miscarry in the womb of the enemy. Let it misfire, backfire, intercepted, boomerang. In the name of Jesus, put your hands together, shout, yes! Tell somebody, it will not work, it will not work. Neither shall it stand. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 5. Go to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. Start reading from verse 5 to 7. Isaiah chapter 7 from verse 5 to 7. Look at something here.
Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Ramaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying.
You see, this scripture is in twofold. It deals with events of the past and events of the now. Scripture is so very scary. And I get very worried about people who ignore scripture. It bothers me when I see people who ignore scripture, because one of the things that, if you don't believe the Bible, must make you believe the Bible, is a simple statement that was made in Genesis. From thus camest thou, to thus shalt thou return. People have been dying since that pronouncement. So if you don't believe anything the Bible says, believe the fact that the Bible is true. Whenever you hear somebody is dead, and people will die until the end of the age and of time. Yes, sir. And that must tell you that the Bible is real. I was telling some people that the issue of Jerusalem is not something anybody should fight over. United Nations can't deal with it. There's nothing we can do about it. Nobody can solve it. I think Ghana should abstain from taking sides, either for Israel or against the Palestinians. Both of them are our brothers and sisters. You cannot win. It's a battle and an issue that cannot be resolved by United Nations until Messiah returns. And that's what the Bible says. You can't touch it. 14th of March to the 23rd, we are going to Israel. And so, mark the dates and come along with me. Nothing. Listen, we know prophecy. Okay, we know the events. They are all written. It's in the Bible. The problem with you and I is that we are not students of prophecy, and we don't study the Bible, and we don't even understand it. But between now and the next 40 years, Jesus said the generation that will see this fig tree blossom with leaves and branches will not pass away till the Son of Man returns. So it's between now and the next 40 years. And I'm praying, Maranatha, even so, Lord Jesus, come now. And you know why I'm praying? Because if Jesus tarries the next 40 years, the world itself would destroy itself. We will. Man has pressed the bottom of self-destruction. Ourselves. It will destroy. It will just explode ourselves. Amen? So it has two implications, this scripture. One is in the past that happened. When you go to Israel, when we go, I'll show you something. The Golan Heights, you'll see something there about the Six-Day War and what happened and how that war was won. Very, very interesting interventions. Go ahead.
Let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass.
Whatever it is that they have programmed this year against you and against your loved ones. It doesn't matter how advanced it has gone or it is. It will backfire. I'm telling you, it will backfire. It will turn in your favor. Say yes. Prophetically, the Lord began to deal with me that 2018 will be our year of possessing the gates. Gates. Put your hands together about gates. Gates are very strategic in scripture and in our days and times because spirits meet at gates. And at gates, destinies and the fate of individuals, communities, families, and cities and nations are determined or decided at the gates. The gates is a meeting place between divinity and humanity. The gate is a meeting place of judges. It's a meeting place of those who carry or have influence over cities. Remember that decisions are not taken at the palace of the king, but at the gates. And there are different kinds of gates. We'll talk about that on Wednesday. Remember, the fasting continues. The second week is tomorrow. We have heaven gates, and we have different gates in heaven. We have gates in Jerusalem. We have political gates. We have the gates of influence. We have the gates of divine intervention. We have financial gates, religious gates, spiritual gates, and the gates of hell. And those who control the gates or possess the gates will call the shots and determines the destiny of the people within the gates. For instance, Tema Harbor is a gate. Anything that arrives at Tema Harbor must be cleared before it comes into the city. And you pay tax on it. Airport is a gate. We have different borders in Ghana here. You have to cross that border to enter. It's a gate. And those who keep those gates are very strategic people and know what even the king don't know. The gatekeepers. And this year, God is giving us possession of the gates. But before we take possession, and there are family gates. There are gates in family. If you don't believe it, die. And after you die, you'll be surprised of the keepers of your family gates. Suddenly, they'll say, we have to go and tell certain uncle. An uncle you've never seen before. And some aunties will show up that have never existed before. And they will call the shot and say, nothing moves until they talk. When my mother died, there were some strange things. Strange people. And they were calling the shots. Even when the old lady should be buried, they had to determine and decide it. So I sent a word to some of them and said, she didn't want to be kept in the fridge more than a month. So if you wanted to stay in the fridge more than a month, I want you to consult her ghost and speak to her. Whatever she says, you can tell me, we'll do it. And they said, tell the archbishop we don't want to speak to the ghost. So I said, okay, let the will of the ghost be done. That is if you believe in ghosts anyway. But it's all superstition. You know, when a person died, they are dead. But as a believer, you have to determine how you want to be handled when your time on earth has ended. As a believer, don't leave it to your family. Make decisions. Like Lincoln Dunkor did. He made his will and determined his own funeral and gave it to me before he died. How he should be handled. He didn't want his casket to be open. He didn't want a waykeeping. He just wanted straight burial. He didn't want to be kept in the fridge for too long a time. Now, I'm not saying this because you are going to die. That's not what I'm saying. But at the same time, we should apply our heart to wisdom. We shouldn't be ignorant. Are you hearing me? Don't leave things to chance. Be wise. Tell somebody, you'll be around for a long time, but be wise. And tell somebody, I shall not die, but I shall live. And declare the works of God in the land of the living. If you believe it, put your hands together and give God some praise here. Welcome again to prayer today by Archbishop Duncan Williams. If you are just tuning in to the Word channel, this is prayer today with Archbishop Duncan Williams. Come with me to Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 25. Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 24. Come on, put your hands together and give God some praise.
Rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thine hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle.
You see, there is this mentality that if God says it, that settles it, it shall come to pass. It's not true. It's not true. Prophecy reveals God's original intent. And it also reveals and shows you the outcome of society, your circumstances and future. And it also reveals God's expected end for you and I. As soon as prophecy comes, the enemy will come at you. Because his assignment is to abort the prophecy. And that's why all male children under the age of 2 were killed during the time of Jesus. That's why the Hebrew children, the male children, were all killed in the days of Moses. It was about the prophecy of the deliverer coming. Concerning Jesus, when the wise men came, the prophecy was revealed. Thou, O Bethlehem of Judea, out thou not the least among all the cities of Judea, and yet out of thee shall come the ruler of my people. When the enemy heard the word ruler of my people, he understood that the ruler has been born. And it wasn't about Jesus. It was about his mission, agenda, assignment, and what he carried. Folks, hear me. It's never about you. It's about your assignment. It's about your mission. It's about why you are here and what you came to accomplish in this life. That is what the enemy is coming up against. But today, I take divine immunity over your assignment. I take divine immunity over your mission. That your mission will not be aborted. That your mission will not miscarry. And that you will not die prematurely. But you will finish your assignment. You will carry it to the letter. If you believe it, put your hands together. Shout yes.
1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare.
You see, so it's a charge. The word charge here is a command, son Timothy, according to the prophecy which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. So whenever prophecy comes, it is required of you and I to contend for the manifestation of that prophecy. Now, it wasn't so before the fall of man, but it was so, or it became so after the fall of man, because man ceded the dominion mandate to Satan when man decided to obey the voice of his wife. It's a whole subject we'll deal with another day, not today. Amen? But he lost it. And therefore, 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan then became the god of this world. Satan became the god of this world.
In whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine
in
unto them.
In whom the god, you see, small g, in whom the god of this world. So Satan then became the god of this world. Adam was, but Adam ceded it. And Satan is operating legally against humanity through Adam's lease. And until Adam's lease expired, Satan has a legal and a legitimate right to kill, steal, and to destroy humanity. And it was Adam who made it so. Luke chapter 4, 5 and 6. The devil saith to him, all the kingdoms and the glory and the riches of this world which you see was delivered unto me, when he showed him all the glories and the kingdoms of this world, and said, to whomsoever I will, I give it, for it was delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Who delivered him? Who delivered it to him? Adam, not God. And that's what the Bible said, the whole world lies in wickedness. And so the reason why we contend for the prophecy is because the God of this world will always put up a fight to block it. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 10, when Daniel discovered the 70 years Babylonian captivity and he began to fast and pray, there it was revealed that there was an unseen ruler over the kingdom of Persia whose name was the Prince of Persia. But there was a natural ruler whose name was the king of Persia, Darius. And it was the prayers of Daniel that effected a political change in the realm of the spirit for Cyrus to come. But before Cyrus, it was Darius. And Darius was governing under the influence of another ruler who was an unseen ruler, and the whole nation was under a veil. But it was when Daniel fasted and prayed for 21 days, the veil was lifted and was removed. And suddenly the nation realized, whoa, that there was another ruler behind the unseen ruler who detected the decision and the mentality and the mindset and the thinking of the natural ruler. Turn to somebody and say, who is ruling you? Somebody is detecting the terms, and that is one of the reasons why we must pray for those in authority. The president, the vice president, the speaker of parliament. Very, very important. Because if we don't pray for them, we're in trouble. And whether you like them or you don't like them, Bible commands that we pray for them. So it's not about liking them and not liking them. It doesn't matter what political party you belong to. It's a command. You want peace in your country, you pray for those in authority. It's a command. And hear me, the unseen controls the natural. What you don't see rules the natural. It is what it is. Tell somebody it is what it is. So in order for us this year to possess the gates, whether it's financial gates or political gates or heaven gates or the gates of hell, where decisions are made or taken, we have to rise up. Tell somebody, rise up. It takes efforts. It takes determination, courage, audacity, vigilance. Church is not just going to happen and it's not automatic. You have to get up. Make an effort, take initiative, take action, do something. Begin the journey. Stop lying in bed and giving the enemy advantage. Rise up, command your body, command your feelings, command your emotion. Don't let your emotion determine your day and your choices and decisions. We move by faith and not by sight. I don't allow my feelings and my emotion to determine my mood or my day. Sometimes I don't feel good at all. Do you hear me? I didn't want to preach at the second service. After the first service, I was feeling some way. And my body says, can I have a little bit of sleep? You're tired. Then I have all these people say, Papa, you look tired. You look tired. You need some rest. Rest. Rest for us. You need a rest. And I keep hearing them. And I say, I block all that projections. In the name of Jesus, I take divine immunity. All those words won't access any organ of my body. Rest before you break down. I say, I won't break down. They will break down. In the name of Jesus. It's like they are sympathizing with you, and it's true. But at the same time, if you are not careful, the enemy can use those same words of sympathizing with you to knock you down and then to say, but I told you, when we talk, he won't listen. He's not resting. I will rest, but at my own time. Are you hearing me? You see, something I like about the patriarchs and Jacob. When the angel of death came for him, he put the angel of death on hold. Say, I put the angel of death on hold. Say, I put him on hold. Death is an appointment, and if it's an appointment, you can disappoint it. And the Bible said, and Jacob sat on his bed, and Israel strengthened himself. And he called all his children, prophesy over all of them, bless them all. And when he finished, the Bible said, he put his knee back to his chest, and he stepped out of his body and laid with his fathers. That is the way you go. You must determine it. Don't let men and circumstances and evil forces determine how you check out. By divine authority, the Bible said there was a man called Simeon, and it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he will not see death until he has seen the manifestation of the promise of God concerning Israel. And when he saw Jesus born and blessed the child Jesus, he said, now, Father, Lord, let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen the salvation of Israel. You have to learn how, Bishop Nyako, you got to put the threat of death on hold. I'm commanding you, put it on hold. And don't let anybody predictions and prophecy. Are you hearing me? The predictions and the prophecy you are hearing and you are feeling is a dead wish in the womb of time. It is wishes of enemies. I was doing a blood test some time ago in America with Rosa. And the lady that was pulling my blood, there was something about her energy I didn't like. So after Rosa said to me, how did it go? And I said, I don't like the energy of the lady that pulled the blood. I said, there is something about her energy I don't like. It's a negative energy. And I knew that blood result wouldn't go well. And when the result came, it was very negative and very scaring. And I knew it was a demonic diagnosis. They were selling something to me to buy. And I said, no, I won't buy it. I reject and refuse it. So I went for the same test with another doctor of mine for a second opinion. And when the test came, it was contrary. It was two different things. And I said, that is it. They wanted to sell me something. This year, whatever the devil is selling, we will not be rejected in the name of Jesus. Say, I reject. I reject. Say, I take an objection to any demonic prescription and diagnosis for me and my family and my nation. I take objection to it. And I overrule it. Say overrule. Sit down for 2 minutes. Genesis 22 verse 17. To possess the gate, you must contend. And to contend means you must disinherit and you must dispossess. Because, hear me, whether you believe it or not, you can go and stand at the tallest building in Accra and jump. And say, I don't believe in the law of gravity. And jump. By the time you land on the ground, alive or dead, you change your belief. So it has nothing to do with what you believe and what you don't believe. It is what it is. It is written. See, I hear you. If you don't dispossess and disinherit those who control the gates, they will determine your faith. For instance, parliament is a gate. And the decisions taken at parliament is what determines the laws that governs you and I. And that's why some of you must go to parliament. But you are sitting here, righteous, holy person. You know all the right things. And you see all the mistakes of the parliamentarians. But you won't go. You are always criticizing them. They will keep making laws to govern you. It's a gate. And this year, I see some of you going to parliament. Genesis 22:17, quickly.
That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies.
You see, this scripture reveals a lot of things. Number one, he said, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. I will give them the blessings of the heavens. Scientific development, scientific breakthroughs. Your seed will possess. I will multiply them like the stars of heaven. Then as the sand of the seashore. But then he went beyond and said, that is not enough. They will control the gates of their enemies, not their gates, but the gates of their enemies. So they may not be light, and they may have enemies in town, but they will control the gates and will determine the law that governs their enemies. Hey, that means you can have every influence and money, but you will not determine the law that rules you. Your enemy will. But let the table turn. Let the rules of engagement be reversed. Let the opposite occur this year. That we will influence lawmakers, and that the laws that governs us and our nation and our children will be determined by us and not by those who don't like us. If you believe it, put your hands together. Shout yes. The gates of your enemies. The gates of your enemies. 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 1 and verse 3. Two things. Chapter 7. Verse 1 and verse 3.
Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria.
In the palace of the king?
No, sir.
In the king's bedroom?
No.
But where?
In the gate.
May the prices of the commodities at the gates change. May those who make decisions concerning the economy of this nation at the gates, in the name of Jesus, be you. Take possessions of the gates, for even the price of commodity and the decisions of the economy is not made at the palace of the king, it's made at the gates. And is made by those who keep the gates. I pray that you become a keeper of gates this year. Verse 3, chapter 7, verse 3.
And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gates.
Uh-huh.
And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die?
Can you believe this? You know who controlled the gate? And those who were at the gate? Who fulfilled chapter 7, verse 1? It was four leopards. Do you know before Jerusalem became the capital of Israel and the seat of David, and the seat of David in those days, it was controlled by the lame and the blind. Those are the people who control Jerusalem. It was part of the promise God gave Abraham that Jerusalem will be part of their inheritance. The seed of Abraham will possess Jerusalem. But before then, it was the lame and the blind that controls Jerusalem and the gates. Nobody, the children of Judah, nobody could enter Jerusalem. Who is controlling our gates? Who controls your gates? In that of Samaria at this time, it was lepers who sat at the gate. Let there be change of guards. I command the change of guards. The changing of the guards. At our political gates, financial gates, economic gates, spiritual gates, heavenly gates, family gates. Let them be the changing of the guard. If you believe it, put your hands together. Declare it. Command it. Say something. Command the changing of the guards. Hallelujah. Now hear me. It was these four lepers' decision that determined the deliverance of the city that day. It was the decision the four lepers at the gate took that brought to pass the prophecy and determined the deliverance of the entire city, including the king. It wasn't the decision of the king. It wasn't the choices made in the palace of the king. It was the decision of four lepers at the gate. Four lepers. Mola kadimu hasa. Hey! Yalama kadala wa siki malahasia. Let there be the changing of the guards. In the name of Jesus. Let not the wicked occupy your gates anymore. Let not the lame occupy your gates. Let not the blind occupy your gates. Let not leopards occupy our gates. But let the redeemed occupy the gates. There is the gate of heaven, the gate of hell, financial gates. Yeah. Come with me quickly. Look at Psalm 127 verse 5. Psalm 127 verse 5. We'll look at one or two gates and I'll let you go. We'll continue on Wednesday.
Happy is the man that has his quiver. No. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate.
There are enemies in the gates. Some of you, there are people who don't like you. They sit at the gates. But the Bible says, God will raise up for you sons who will have corresponding power and strength. You will have sons who will also be at the gates and they will speak for you. Their voices will be heard. When any voice rises up against you, your sons who are also at the gates, may your sons gain access to the gates. May your sons and daughters have a place at the gates. May they have a voice at the gate. Whenever a voice rises up against you, let there be another voice that will react in your favor. Say yes. You remember when there was a conspiracy to assassinate King Ahasuerus, that it was discussed at the gate. Yeah. The discussion and the conspiracy was heard at the gates by a man called Mordecai. And Mordecai revealed the secret to Esther to tell the king that, king, there is a conspiracy to assassinate you. And the Bible said, and the king looked into the matter and it was true. And they caught all the people who had planned the demise of the king, but the matter was revealed at the gate. I pray this year that every secret and hidden plan and agenda of the enemy about your life will be revealed, will be uncovered, exposed at the gates, and that God will position people for you at the gates that will uncover the secret of man's heart and make it known unto you to give you divine escape. If you believe it, put your hands together, shout yes, shout yes, shout yes. Nehemiah 3:29.
After them repaired Zadok the son of Imer over against his house. After him repaired also Shemaiah of the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate.
The keeper of the east gate. So there are different gates. This is just the east gate. And they mean different things. We'll go into the east gate, what it stands for, the north gate, the south gate, the west gate. And they all represent different things, like the east wind, the north wind, the south wind, the west wind. And we'll look at the different gates in the body of man. We have 14 gates in the body. Your brain has a gate. Your eye is a gate to the soul. The ear is a gate. The mouth is a gate. Your nose is a gate. There are gates in the palms of men and at the feet of men. Sexual organs are gates. There are different kinds of gate. Your navel is a gate. I don't want to go into the details today, but there are different gates. And whoever controls those gates have access and have the advantage. I pray this year that let no demon, let no enemy control any gate of your life or any gate of your sons and your daughters, your children, your grandchildren. Let no enemy control the gates of this country. In the name of the Lord Jesus, put your hands together. Shout yes. You shall possess gates this year. Have the anointing to possess gates. The Bible says in the book of Obadiah, on the Mount of Zion, Obadiah 1:17. Yeah.
But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions.
You see, before you can possess, two things must happen. Number one, there must be deliverance. Because the enemy has held so many people up, tied so many people up. But I command your deliverance. I said, I command your deliverance. If you are hearing me, I command your deliverance. I command the deliverance of your husband. I command the deliverance of your wife. I command the deliverance of your children. The deliverance of your grandchildren. The deliverance of your investment. The deliverance of the works of your hand. The deliverance of your body. The deliverance of your finances. I command your deliverance. If you believe it, shout yeah. Then the next thing after deliverance is holiness. This holiness here stands for purity. Tell somebody, purity. Hear me. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So this holiness is not just talking about, you know, being free from immorality. But it's talking about being pure at heart. Because there are people who don't do all the bad things other people do. But they are bitter, very bitter people, unforgiving people, mean at heart, cold like ice. He's talking about purity, a pure heart, a pure conscience, having your garments always white, not walking around bearing grudges. Bearing grudges. There are people who never forgive. They always bear grudges. They are always holding something against somebody. This year, have a pure heart. Have a pure conscience. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And the Bible said, if you are pure, the next thing after purity, you will possess your possession. May you possess your possession this year. I see you taking possession this year of your possession. In the name of Jesus, say yes. The sons of Jacob shall possess their possession. You know, I pray that when you get to heaven, there will be a lot of surprises. And one of the things that will happen in heaven is when we get there, a lot of you will realize that whilst you were here on earth, there were so many things that were meant for you. To live an effective godly life and to have everything you ever needed in this life, and you missed it because you were veiled. 1 Peter 3:1. Check, I think it's 2 Peter 1:3. According as his divine power has given unto us
all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue.
All things that pertains to what?
Life and godliness.
How many things?
All things.
How many things?
All things.
Do you know that before the discovery of the law of aerodynamics overriding the law of gravity, that it existed in the womb of time? The Wright brothers, who discovered or invented aircraft, before their time, the idea of what aircraft is was always there. And generations lived and died and walked on their feet And they travel on the back of camel, donkeys, and horses, and sheep for weeks and months, because they haven't discovered it until it was discovered. Do you know the things that are in the womb of time that we haven't yet discovered that will make life worth living and serving God meaningful? It's there. I pray that this year and the next 40 years of your life and mine, that we shall discover all the things that God has in stock for us through illumination. The Bible says, through the knowledge of Him. Say the knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. Say light, light, light. Say, let there be light, let there be light. Let there be illumination. Amen. Genesis 23 and verse 11. Deuteronomy 16 and 18.
Nay, my Lord, hear me. The field give I thee, and the cave that is therein, I give it thee, and in the presence of my sons, of the sons of my people, give I it to thee.
Go to verse 10.
And Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth. And Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the audience of the children of Heth, even of all that went in at the gate of his city, saying,
there are gates of cities and gates of nations. This has to do with Abraham when he and Sarah were separated, and he lived away from Sarah, and Sarah died, and he had to travel and go to where Sarah was and had to negotiate at the gate for a burial ground to bury his dead. So decisions are made to determine the fate and the lives of people at the gates. Deuteronomy 16, 18.
Judges and officers shall thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment.
So judges sits at the gates, and at the gate, judgments and decisions concerning people within the nation or the city is determined by those who sit in judgment at the gate. I pray that this year, God will give you an unlimited access, unstoppable favor, that God will give you access to the gates, and that you'll be among the judges who sits at the gates to determine and to make the decisions concerning the life of those within the gates. And let nobody who is your enemy or your accuser or adversary have access to the gates. Stand on your feet. Put your hands together and give God some praise.